Welcome to the Poem of the Week. As you know, poems are patient-oriented evidence that matters. Each week, our poem is intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes, and he is joined by InfoPoem's senior editor, Dr. Mark Abell. Gentlemen.
Thank you, Maggie. I'm Mark, how are you doing?
Doing great, thanks.
I hope you're getting a chance to stay outside a little bit. The abstract we're going to do today talks about vitamin D. It is important to remember that osteoporosis is a major problem in society. It's obviously characterized by reduced mineral density and bone mass. There are lots of options to prevent or treat bone loss in postmenopausal women and the elderly. Many of these treatments are only moderately effective, and some are even clinically ineffective. There is evidence supporting the benefit of calcium and vitamin D in patients with osteoporosis. This evidence comes largely from prospective randomized placebo-controlled trials. Although a number of the trials have reported a benefit of calcium or calcium plus vitamin D on bone density in postmenopausal women and older men, the data on fractures, again, being that this is about POMS, what we really care about is not the clinical measurement of bone density, but fractures. The data on fractures is more variable. In terms of bones, vitamin D and calcium are both major players in bone function. Vitamin D enhances intestinal absorption of calcium so that low concentrations of vitamin D are associated with impaired calcium absorption and a negative calcium balance, which results in a rise in parathyroid hormone, which results in excessive bone resorption. Now, this can be reversed by increasing calcium intake and maintaining adequate vitamin D. Calcium to become in positive balance, we assume that it's in the range of 1,000 milligrams per day being ingested in premenopausal women, a bit higher in postmenopausal women. The poem that you're going to talk us through is published in the Archives of Internal Medicine, and it asks an important clinical question, which is, can vitamin D prevent important fractures related to osteoporosis? Mark, what did the authors find?
Well, this is the fourth meta-analysis on this topic, at least the fourth in the past few years. And they did a little more than the other studies because they really looked carefully at the dose of vitamin D and the type of vitamin D and focused, as you said, on non-vertebral fractures, not just either changes in density or even non-clinical vertebral fractures, which the patient didn't know about, but you can see on an X-ray. So they searched a bunch of databases, including the Cochrane Control Trials Register. They also looked for meeting abstracts, and they looked at the reference list of any studies that they did find. They even contacted experts in the field for any unpublished work. In the end, they identified 12 double-blind randomized controlled trials with a total of about 42,000 patients. Their average age was 78 years. They only included studies if there was data on how the fracture happened and data regarding adherence so they could calculate the actual dosage of vitamin D that the patient received. The data from the studies were independently abstracted by three separate researchers, and then they compared results and combined them. Combining all of the studies, vitamin D supplementation did cause a small decrease in non-vertebral fractures with a relative risk reduction of 14%. They found that there was quite a bit of heterogeneity between studies, though, different studies, different results. And that's always a little worrisome. When they looked more closely, what they found was that it was dosage that was really the key. Dosages of 400 international units or less per day did not reduce non-vertebral fracture risk. Dosages greater than 400 did. You had to give 93 patients an adequate dose over 400 international units for 1 to 6 years to prevent one non-vertebral fracture. So the number needed to treat is about 93. Mm-hmm. The effect was better with cholecalciferol, vitamin D3, than with vitamin D2. And hip fractures, when they just pulled out hip fractures alone, the number needed to treat was about 200 to prevent one fracture. They did not see a big effect of calcium supplementation, whether or not calcium was added to that. So the bottom line is that vitamin D at a dose greater than 400 international units per day of the vitamin D3, cholecalciferol, does decrease the risk of non-vertebral fractures. So I think we probably ought to recommend, and this is, remember, this study, most of these were older patients, so probably most of our older patients should be taking 800 international units of vitamin D. That way, even if they miss an occasional dose, they still get the recommended amount.
Given the state of our economy and the relatively large number needed to treat, 93 and 200 if you're looking at hip fractures, is this something that we should be recommending to our patients? And how much does vitamin D cost?
I don't know how much it costs. There was one interesting study. This one was, I think it was a British study from 3 or 4 years ago. And what they did was they just took a single 100,000 international unit capsule of vitamin D and mailed it to patients every 4 months. And they found a very similar risk reduction in terms of non-vertebral fractures.
Well,
and if you do the math, that works out to about 800 international units a day. You got 120 days times 800, it's about 100,000. So kind of an interesting way, I think that might be very cost-effective. Again, I'm not exactly sure how much that costs. I can't imagine it's that much, and you only have to take it once every 4 months.
And do you feel it's safe to recommend that patients go and buy vitamin D at a health food store, or do they need to get it from a doctor's prescription at a pharmacy?
You know, I haven't seen any studies actually comparing the the content of different vitamin D preparations, so I really can't answer that. I would guess it's probably okay. It's, vitamin D supplements have been around for a long time. I just think I would look for reputable kind of brand and 800 international units and cholecalciferol.
One last question. I know that it wasn't addressed in the meta-analysis, but there are other high-risk groups for osteoporosis. Do you think this can be extrapolated to them as well?
Well, yeah, I was a little careful extrapolating, and there have been some other studies. There was a large study, the RECORD study, which looked specifically at secondary prevention in patients who'd already had an osteoporotic fracture, and they had about 8,000 patients. They did not find a benefit of the higher dose vitamin D. So it may be something, and the studies that have tended to show a benefit have been in older patients. So I would be hesitant to extrapolate too far away from the geriatric group in this recommendation.
Okay, great. We'll look forward to talking with you next week. Have a good week.
All right, talk to you then, Mike.
That's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to look at this and other recent poems, please go to www.infopoems.com. Please join us again next week for another medical poem.